I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from Luke chapter 9, and as we come to this word, we bow our hearts and heads in prayer. We, O God, have seen your death and resurrection, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We, O God, have seen his ascension and Pentecost. Help us now to see his kingdom come in this Samaritan village and among us as well. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. If you would go ahead, at least mentally, if not with actual pen to paper, circle the opening words of this text. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven. Oftentimes, we think about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as being the all-encompassing center of our theology and our understanding of Scripture. At least for a moment in this particular text, in Luke chapter 9, 15 chapters before we ever get to the resurrection of Jesus, Luke has another event in the life of Christ in view. And that event is his ascension into heaven. The ascension into heaven, when, as Scripture paints the picture, Jesus Christ takes up his right-hand rule at the throne of God. When he returns to his Father in order to bring all authority and power in this world underneath his control, ultimately, and authority, ultimately, until he comes again. This is, in other words, an authority kind of text. This is about his kingdom. Let's now go beyond that opening statement and get a better sense of what this kingdom is all about. Jesus, because the ascension was in view, resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. He will go through the cross and the empty tomb, and as he goes on his way there, he will go from location to location. And as they were walking along, someone comes to Jesus and says, "I'll follow you wherever you will go." Now, we've been taught, generally speaking, over the course of our lives, when we hear words like this, that the operative word is follow. I would contend, at least in this text, the operative word is not follow. The more important word is wherever. Circle that as well, at least mentally. Because as that person, whoever it was, anonymously comes up to Jesus and says, "I'll follow you wherever you go," Jesus doesn't push back on the following. He gives insight to what the nature of the wherever will be. Jesus says, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, you may want to follow me, but are you sure? Are you really sure that you'll follow me wherever I lead you? Watch what you ask for, because wherever the Lord leads, wherever his kingdom takes us, there will be challenges there. The word of God may be rejected. The spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ may be antagonized. The grass is not necessarily always greener on the other side. The kingdom of God, however, must prevail. Jesus then says to another person, "Let's just make it simple. Come follow me. I'm not going to tell you where we go. You just come follow me." Look at the response. "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." Again, if you're going to circle something, circle the word home. It's again another location word. This particular person, anonymous though he or she may be, has in view a place of his human home before he has an understanding of his spiritual kingdom to which Christ calls him. It is easy in this world to become very, very comfortable in where we are. I don't have to work hard to help you understand in this moment, in the conversation, in light of the conversation that happened at the beginning of the service, where Renee and I have been challenged to question our comfortability and to question where it is that God may be saying, look, you just need to follow. I was listening to a sermon years ago by Chuck Swindoll, and in that particular sermon, I don't even remember what he was preaching about, what text of Scripture, in other words, it was drawn from. I don't even remember what the point of the whole sermon was. But I do remember this line, and I thought to myself as he said it, wow, that takes a lot of guts to be able to say that to a congregation of people. And this is what he said. He said, some of you sitting here today need to leave. Over the course of the next several weeks or months, you have to move somewhere. You have to quit your job, sell your house, and go somewhere else. And he said it in this very pregnant way. It was quite stunning. You know you have to move. God knows you have to move. The question is, are you going to move? And I thought, and this was like when I was like 20, 22 years old, I thought, wow, what kind of preacher do you have? How long do you have to be in ministry to stand before a congregation, not knowing who's going through what and what people are considering, and just blast that out? I know now. I know what adult life looks like as you mature from your adolescence, and all of a sudden, life moves forward, and the challenges and your understanding of who you are and what you do and where it is that God may be challenging you, you can do you better here than the comfort that would be provided for you if you stay where you're currently at. Let me just acknowledge, there's some crazy mixed up spaghetti logic in what I just told you. So if you're like, what did he just say? Exactly. When God's kingdom comes, when he invites you to follow, there is a simple logic. Look, can I just go back home and bury my father? That's pretty logical, right? Let me take care of my flesh and blood. Jesus says, okay, look, there's nothing wrong with burying your father. But the real question is, are you more committed to him and to the place where you're most comfortable? Or are you going to stake out with me into uncharted territory? It's a question. And if I can just underscore this, your duty, Jesus says, is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. If you would, again, I don't mean to make this ridiculous, but if you'd circle kingdom of God and draw an arrow up to ascend to heaven. His kingdom that he will reassume after his ascension is operative even while he is on this earth. This is a kingdom of God text. And this text invites us to ask the question, am I a kingdom person or am I an earthbound person? Am I following the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I just serving the Lord Jesus Christ that has walked on this earth? It's a question that Luke wants us to take deeply into consideration. Finally, another person now comes up. So a person comes, conversation, Jesus converses, that moves forward. Now another person comes. Yes, Lord, I will follow you, and I'm not going to go home, but I just want to say goodbye. If you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Boom. This is like in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus says, anyone who does not leave father and mother for me is not worthy of the kingdom. Boom. I have come to turn fathers against sons, daughters-in-law against mothers-in-law, the members of one's own household will be your antagonists in the kingdom. Home is the primary place of faith formation, my brothers and sisters, and family does matter. Lord only knows, my entire family is up in Chicago. Renee's entire family is here in St. Louis in Chicago. But it's a question about where it is that we serve best. And it's not just about the Seidler family. More importantly today, it's about you. Some of you have called St. Louis your home. Some of you invented the question, where did you go to high school? My brothers and sisters in Christ, this text is a challenge. Each and every day we wake up, it's an invitation. I met at the hotel we were staying at. I met Danny, and Danny is a crazy surfing Catholic guy that was staying there. He had business in Scottsdale this past week, and every time we came out for breakfast, he would buzz over to us. We had met in the pool, and we were talking and blah, blah, blah. He went to Mass every morning. He had the hotel shuttle drive him to Mass every morning, barefoot, in his swim trunks. I know. He would go to Mass, 15, 20 minutes, he'd be back, and we struck up a conversation, and I was talking about my transition there. He was talking about his transition and his life, and what we celebrated was this, that each and every day God calls us to start anew. In his Roman Catholic disposition, it meant going to Mass every single day in the morning. In the Lutheran tradition, you don't have to go to Mass, but the Catechism teaches us we daily drown the old Adam so that the new Adam may rise in newness of life, commitment to God. Doesn't mean that each and every day we may not fail, but each and every day his mercies are new for you, for me, and therefore we rise and we say, where is God's kingdom taking us today? I'm putting the hand to the plow. I am committed to get after this, and I will follow wherever he leads. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is a challenge that we take seriously. So I commend you to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you today, as we gather our hearts and minds, to rise and confess the faith that we believe in, that leads us forward in faith.